Good morning. Good to be here at KFUO. And on this morning, as we discuss law and gospel, and of course, as you can tell by now, I'm not Tom Baker. And I have Buzz on the board for me, so we're good to go here this morning.
He is Wes Reibnitz.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he is. I don't know, several feet of you.
Yes. Yeah, you know how it is. You get going early in this morning, you got to, it's right here. I'm supposed to introduce myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Great for you to take care of you. And I go back, man, clear almost back into the 90s.
Seems like it'd be that far.
Well, this morning we wanted to discuss some Bible lessons for the upcoming week, and in particular the 21st Sunday in Pentecost. Going to do Mark chapter 10. And verses 17 and following. And we'll read that first and then some introductory comments. In fact, before I forget it, I better get my announcements in. You know, Tom gave me some announcements here to talk about. Reason Tom's not here, he's at the Missouri District Pastors Conference. The Missouri District is one of 35 districts of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he's at Missouri. Over there in Illinois, I'm in the Central Illinois. We have the Northern Illinois District, the Central Illinois District, and the Southern Illinois District. And I'm a retired pastor. Been retired now for just a little bit over a year now. My second grandchild celebrated his birthday on August 18th, his first birthday. And it was the day before August 17th when I had finished up at St. Paul's Havana. And 34-some years in parish ministry, four churches, was a district exec for the Central Illinois District, went out and helped out the congregations within our district. So been there, been around the block, so to speak, and came back to St. Paul's Havana. And when I say came back to St. Paul's Havana, that's where I started my walk with the churches. You know, in our third year at the seminary, we would go to churches and serve for a year. You know, work under a pastor and see what was going on. Mine was St. Paul's Havana. And by the grace of God, I was able to go back there and finish up with the congregation. Got a wonderful pastor up there, Pastor Kevin Wendorf now, and ably serving the congregation. Now, as we take a look at our lessons for today, the one that I want to key in a little bit on is Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Hopefully you found it by now. And Jesus was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God and Him alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking up at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But these words, at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. Kind of want to come at this in a different, probably a different sort of way. You know, the Bible is loaded with all kinds of stories and interactions. We see one this morning here in this lesson for the day of Jesus interacting with a rich young ruler. But when you take a look at the Bible from beginning to end, it's just loaded of stories of God's grace to his people. Well, when you look at the word grace, you take each one of those words, G-R-A-C-E, and say, God's riches at Christ's expense. How does one get rich in going to heaven or get rich with God? It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and suffering on the cross and his resurrection that comes there. In the Old Testament, you know, we've covered it before on Law of Gospel. There's that book by Peter Kurosky, Angel of Angels, in which he talks about how in the Old Testament Jesus appeared to many of his people in various ways and how he interacted with his people. Great heroes of the Bible, great men and women. There's Mary, of course. There's Peter, Priscilla and Aquila. I call them the first evangelism husband-wife team, so to speak. And especially Paul, who said, I got it all wrong. I was chief of all sinners, and God's grace was good to him. But as we look at this rich young ruler who had much and just couldn't give it up, it reminds me of another story, I think, from the Bible, and that's why I kind of come at this at a whole different direction. And that's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Here were three guys who, quote, had government jobs, you know, so to speak. They were doing well, going up the ladder, so to speak. They were fairly successful as what they did. Or as I sometimes kid around, I said when they came to the plain of Dura, when summoned by Nebuchadnezzar to fall at the idol, they came in with their Rolex watches and their Corvettes. Oh, wait, Tom's got a Corvette. Make that a Mercedes. They came with their Mercedes and $500 suits and, you know, looking good for the day until they were asked to bow down. And they had to make a decision, you know, who was their God, you know, and how that then played out in their life. And, of course, they ran into some problems at the office, so to speak, when some of their co-workers said, hey, wait, they're not bowing down. The reason I bring this up is in Nebuchadnezzar's time, he was considered a world power, so to speak. There were anywhere of a dozen cultures in his kingdom. There were the Huns, the Medes, the Persians, the Jewish people, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Hittites, the Assyrians, just to name a few of the cultures that were there. And it was probably, when I read up on this many years ago, there were probably anywhere from 200 to 300 false gods that the various cultures worshipped. And in the middle of that is the triune God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship. So when Nebuchadnezzar draws the people onto the plain of Dura there in Daniel chapter 3, he's waiting to see who will bow down. It wasn't unusual in their time and in their day for the average household with these false gods to have anywhere from 2 to 5 gods that they would worship. So, you know, probably to some of them, what's the difference if we have to bow down to the one that Nebuchadnezzar has set up? And for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it made a big difference. For they were following the triune God, the one who really gives life. And you just got to love their answer there in Daniel chapter 3, 17 and 18, when Nebuchadnezzar gives them one last chance to bow down. And they answer, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Interesting balance that they put out there. On the one hand, they're not going to worship. God can deliver them, but if God chooses not to, they're going to go that way of death. And for them, waiting for the for the Messiah to one day come and die upon the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, hey, we're going to go to heaven. Either way, we are saved. So it made a big, big difference for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And, of course, the rest of the story, they were delivered. It appeared like an angel. Some think an angel of the Lord, that it may have been Christ who had come and saved them. And they were blessed. Not even anything singed them. But you have a little bit different. So there you have it on the one hand. They had a good life. They had a fairly, what you call a 9-to-5 job, able to go home. They were doing okay. Now things are just a tad on the different side. There we see, when we come to our gospel lesson, here's a guy who's got it all too. And he says, what do I need to inherit? Well, we don't inherit eternal life. You know, it is one that is given to us by the grace of God, by faith. We come to faith by hearing the word of God or through our holy baptism. But the differences that we see then of law and gospel, I think, also helps us clarify what's going on in this gospel lesson of Mark chapter 10. And in particular, The law was written in the hearts of men and is known to them by nature, and the gospel is absolutely unknown to natural man. Now, I don't think that one quite fits, but it's part of law and gospel. The law tells us what we must do and may not do. Well, there's some of that going on. You know, they're citing those various commandments, and really the commandments that they're citing are 4 through 10 as we were reading them. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. So, but yet on the other hand, the gospel reveals that what God has done and is still doing for us in salvation. For instance, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. Or the law convinces man of his sins. Wasn't in this instance, was it? He was looking to find a way that he could merit God's grace. And the gospel reveals to ungodly sinners the love and grace. Then there's also, of course, the law reveals the wrath of God against all ungodliness and righteousness, and it demands love, and it cannot inspire it. In fact, it kind of kills the love. That we're told in Romans chapter 7, for sin takes conscience by command and deceived me, and by it slew me. And the gospel comforts those who are depressed because of their sins. And I don't think the young ruler was depressed because of his sins. On the other hand, the law promises eternal life on condition of a perfect obedience. This do, and thou shalt live. We're told that in Luke chapter 10, verse 28, and again in Leviticus 18 and Galatians chapter 3. Probably fits the guy that we're talking about a little bit this morning here. You know, the law promises eternal life on the condition of a perfect obedience, whereas the gospel is free, gratuitous, unconditional. You know, I'm sure he was feeling pretty good and feeling his oats at that time. So, when we kind of look at this lesson, it's kind of a do and done type situation. He saw his life as if he does something, he's going to merit God's grace and favor. And versus when we look at the gospel, it's unconditional. It's God's free promise. Because when you read a little bit further in that lesson, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom. And the disciples were amazed at these words. And he said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And again, with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible with God. So on the one hand, you know, it was a do thing. But, you know, the other unique feature of this lesson is that it quotes Commandments 4 through 6, but kind of left behind the first three commandments. You know, the summary that we often talk about in our catechism of the first three commandments, and then the summary of the commandments 4 through 10. Verse 3 is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, from Matthew 22 and also in Deuteronomy 6. And then we have the summary of the commandments 4 through 10. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so certainly he could say, you know, I gave to the poor, I took care of things, I took care of mom and dad, and I didn't steal when I was at work, did an honest day's work, never bore false witness, but his wealth got in the way, you know. And I think that's one of the things that when we look at that lesson for this Sunday is sometimes what is it that gets in our way towards God? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we covered that gospel lesson where Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye gets in the way, take it out. If your foot causes you to stumble and sin, get rid of it. Of course, he wasn't saying do that literally. But what he was saying is whatever the sin is that gets in our way, get it out of the way for our eternal life. And here is the same way that we see it being portrayed in this lesson for the day. In Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were willing to lose it all in order to keep the salvation, the faith that was won. Life was good. Was even better with the Lord Jesus Christ that was to eventually come and die upon the cross for them, the Messiah that was to come. And it's the same way for us. We're often faced with those trials and temptations that beset us out there, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, you know, in our social life, is to remind ourselves that it's a do and done thing. The do says, do this on the way to the cross. The done says, it's already been done. It's on the way from the cross. And we believe it's from the cross that we serve our Lord and Savior. For it's from the cross we hear those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we're reminded that when, at that point, God had turned his back on Jesus and heaped the sins of all mankind upon him. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve and that first bite of the fruit in the garden when they sinned, reaching forward to Jesus' time, reaching forward to our day, and reaching forward into the future till the last person will ever be born. Could be the last person that will ever be saved, but for sure it's the last person that will ever be born. Christ dies for the sins of all mankind. And it is free, it's gratuitous, it's unconditional. As we nothing we can do to earn it or that we can see that we deserve it. There in Ephesians chapter 2, we read, for through faith you have been, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of the works, that no one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So there you have it. God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And as I believe and cling, I have that faith, that salvation that God has said that he would give to me. And the interesting part of it, you know, which by the way, I loved Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's my confirmation verse. And when my children got confirmed, I gave them 2, 8, 9, and 10. And the reason they got 10 was I can remember my mother, who's now living with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, said, she says she could never figure out why when they did confirmation, why they, when they selected Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, why 10 wasn't included. She always thought 10 should go in there, so we gave them 10. And it makes sense, because it talks about our walk from the cross. It doesn't talk about us inheriting heaven. Heaven is ours already through Christ, who's died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. As we believe and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are free. And that's the difference that we see in our lesson for this morning from Mark chapter 10. He was looking for his way to heaven. Heaven is ours right now. Or that Ephesians passage that I know Tom loves so well, in verse 6 there, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order to show the ages that he might come to surpassing riches of his grace and kindness, that we are ready in heaven as believers in Christ, and then for by grace through faith you have been saved. That's the good news. That's the wonderful news that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the differences that we see in the lesson for coming up in Mark chapter 10. On the one hand, what do I do to work my way to heaven? On the other hand, it's already been done. And our workmanship, where we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, as he's created that faith, we walk in them. Some days we do a good job. Other days you gotta say, wait, what happened? And it's back to the cross of Christ. On a Sunday morning we come, and what's the first thing we do? We make confession of our sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I've ever offended you. And know that we will get God's mercy and hear from our pastor there, that in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that in Christ we get that wonderful forgiveness. And we hear it in the confession and absolution in our worship service. We hear it in the sermons and in the lessons and in the hymns and the prayers that we have. And God bless you as you look forward to the week ahead in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a reminder, Tom's out of town till Wednesday. Tomorrow he has Henry Gerke coming in, and Henry's going to do the hymn of the week. Quite a musician, and I look forward to dialing him in up there when I'm up in Springfield to listen to Henry as he talks about the hymn of the week. Also, a reminder that there's no Tuesday Bible study at Emmanuel Olivet. That'll also be canceled. That's the 11 a.m. Bible study Tuesday at Emmanuel Olivet. Tom will still be at the conference, still having a good time. It's been great this morning to be with you, and I just consider it a pleasure to come and speak to you about our favorite topic, Jesus. Thank you, and God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO. Listener-supported KFUO. Remember, you can hear Wrestling with the Basics anytime, day or night. Visit the archive section on our website, Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org. The messenger of good news.